Morning, Bridgewater.
Good morning.
My name is Dan, and I'm your small groups champion. I am not your pastor. But I'm so thankful and so blessed and honored to be here this morning to share with you. God has laid some things on my heart. Aaron asked me to speak and to preach, and I had a little trepidation, I'll tell you. It's been a little while. It's been about 8 years, but God is good, and I hope he speaks through me this morning. Amen?
Amen.
So over the last few weeks, we've been talking about our figurative giants in our lives. Pastor Aaron went over 1 Samuel 17, where he literally talked about the big giant Goliath, right? And how God used a little man named David to take that giant down. And so while we're not going to talk about our literal giants, okay, I hope you don't have a 9.5-foot tall giant in your life, because if you do, don't call me, I won't be any good. But we're gonna talk about our figurative giants, okay? We went over fear. We went over rejection. And this morning, I feel like we got a tough one. We're going to go over comfort. You might be asking, comfort? Why must comfort fall? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to go over that this morning. But before we go over that, does anybody in here ever watch, or has anybody ever watched the show Alone on History Channel? Raise your hand. Ooh, you guys got to get yourselves familiar with that show. The show Alone is great. It's a reality show where they drop off 10 contestants to survive as long as they can in the wilderness. And it's usually northwestern Canada, which if you know is just infested with bears and wolves and all kinds of things that you don't want to sleep next to. Okay, so they usually drop them off in the summer so they can prepare for a long, hard fall. And winter, possibly, if they make it that long. Now, the goal is to make it as long as you can without calling for help, right? They have satellite phones, okay? They're not there to help them. They get, like, I don't know, 10 or 15 items to take with their backpack, and they get to try to survive. Well, one year, they dropped them off in the Arctic, and they dropped them off in the fall time. So they didn't have any time to really prepare for the long, hard winter. Here I am, right, watching this show, thinking, oh, I would love to do that. And there's no irony lost on me that I'm wrapped up in my blanket, my wife can tell you, 100%, wrapped up in my blanket, on my recliner, drinking my coffee next to my pellet stove. But yeah, that'd be great. That'd be so awesome. Now, I know, okay, I'm no hunter. Aaron's a hunter. Bob's a hunter. I'm not a hunter. Now, Dan has tried to teach me how to fish, and I'm not a great fisherman either. So by day seven, I'm probably going to be like the Pink Panther. If you see Steve Martin, Pink Panther, I'm calling up. I would like a hamburger. I would like a hamburger. They'd be coming to pull me in as soon as you wouldn't believe. I would not make it 7 days. Now, while it's awesome watching this stuff, right, the comfort of your home, we're not going to be talking about physical comfort. We're going to talk about a little thing called holy discomfort. Ooh. Now, if any of you read C.S. Lewis, I love him. I'm not an avid reader. My wife is. She's pushing me there. But I love C.S. Lewis, and he said, if you want a religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. Woo! Yeah. Who's ready this morning, right? See, my goal for my life is happiness and comfort. God's goal for my life is greatness. We're going to have a choice in our life where we choose either the easy button or the greatness button. And we're going to have times in our lives where we're just not sure where exactly where we're going or where God's taking us. But this morning, boy, I'll tell you, God's going to see you through it. Some of you are already in the midst of a hard road. Some of you have gone through some hard roads, and you question, you know, where did God take you? Why did he take you through that stuff? I'm here to tell you that he's faithful and he's good. He's faithful and he's so good. Now, you might be asking, if you're a non-believer, right? And we're so glad that you're here. Thank you for coming. You might be asking, hey, doesn't God want me to be happy? Doesn't he want me to be comfortable? Well, can I tell you? I feel like happiness is a yuppie word. That's your fault. You invited me up here. Happiness is a yuppie word. Because isn't happiness situational? Hey, I got a new car. Woo! And that first payment goes, and you're like, not so happy anymore. Get a new home, and then the roof leaks 5 years after it was put on. Not so happy anymore. But I'll tell you, when you get into the scriptures, God doesn't necessarily talk about happiness. He talks about things like being blessed, being grateful. And he wants to teach you how to be grateful. He wants you to go to a point where you have joy. I don't like getting up for work all the time. I'm not very happy, but I'm grateful I have a job and it helps me pay my bills. Okay? Happiness is situational. Joy is not. It comes from Christ and what he's done in our life. Amen? So I think God has something to teach us. So if you wouldn't mind, join with me in Matthew chapter 16. We're going to go through what Jesus has to say about this. Let me set the stage for you a little bit. Jesus had been preaching and teaching to the crowds, and it says here, from then on, and that's an important marker in Scripture, he's now kind of transitioning to teaching and preaching to his disciples. It had been to the crowds, and now he's honing in to his disciples, and he says, from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. Ooh. I can't imagine what the disciples are thinking right then and there. Okay, so you gotta forget that we know the whole story. They didn't have the whole story. They didn't know Jesus, the extent of Jesus going to the cross and dying. He had talked about it, but you ever talked about something, but it really doesn't come real until it happens? That's kind of what's happening here. His disciples are kind of like, okay, something weird is going on, but okay, I'm going to go with it. But then we have Peter. Look what Peter says. He just took him aside and said, began to reprimand him, saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Peter's like, you're crazy. You got to understand, Jesus was one of their best friends. He was their savior. I want you to think of your best friend, right? Your friend starts to tell you that he's going to have to suffer and die. You got to start thinking he's a little cuckoo crazy, right? Now, just kind of multiply that by 10, because imagine spending that time with Jesus. I could only imagine how I would feel about the savior of the world coming down and teaching and feeding me and blessing me. And then he's like, hey, I've got to go to Jerusalem and I got to die. I'm going to focus in on what Jesus says now, right here. It says, Jesus turned to Peter and he said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's. Now, here's what's interesting. I really don't think he's calling Peter Satan, okay? If you back up a few verses beforehand, he just got done telling Peter that he's blessed because Christ asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he says, blessed are you, Peter, son of Barjona. Can't be blessed and be Satan at the same time. However, this idea right here, this dangerous trap, that is satanic. That's coming from Satan. Okay? We're going to have good guys in our lives that might be good people, but they're going to have some bad ideas, or they're going to try to stop you from doing God's word and living out what God has for you, right? See, my goal for my life is happiness and comfort. God's goal for my life is greatness. I'm going to focus on this word, dangerous trap, and I brought this stick here. A couple of the boys really wanted to play with it, as you could well see. It's a great stick, right? Kind of bent, whatever. This idea of a dangerous trap is interesting. I don't know why I focused in on it, but it brought to my mind, if I can get it to stay upright. Some versions of the Word of God speak about it as this, in terms of a snare or a stumbling block. When I looked the word up in the Greek, don't ask me to tell you what it means because I couldn't even read it. I just know that I had Strong's Dictionary and it led me right to the right one, okay? It means bent sapling or trap stick. That'd make a great metal band name, wouldn't it? Trap stick. What are you playing for? Playing for Rare Trap Stick, bro. You did it. You invited me up here. But I love this idea here. The idea is that Peter isn't Satan. But the idea that he's expressing is satanic. See, what's the worst thing that Satan could have happen, right? That's Jesus go to the cross. Satan didn't want Jesus to go to the cross. And so Jesus is saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are a hindrance to me. You are a trap stick. You are not setting your mind. You are setting your mind on the things of man and not on the things of God. You see, comfort must fall to become greater or more like Jesus. I'm going to tell you a little story about mine. Back in 2008, I was finishing up college, graduating. I was full-time college, full-time residential counselor at a group home, and I literally worked myself into the ER, finishing up my college exams with dehydration. And I was looking for a new job because I was being treated very terribly at my current one that I had at the time, to the point where I remember being in the basement of my group home on break, praying and crying out to God to get me out of that situation because I was tired of being mistreated. Okay, I had spoken up for some individuals that really needed to be spoken up for, and then I was targeted. Have you ever felt that before? You got to do what's right. So anyways, I'm thinking, wow, I'm going to go into the ministry. I just got done with Bible school. And then it became real clear to God did not want to put me in the ministry. I wasn't ready. That was a big thing for me to grapple with and a hard thing for me to take down. So I started looking for jobs, and a friend of ours had suggested taking the civil service for corrections. I'm like, working in the jail? All right, listen, I'll take the test, see what happens. Well, I take the test and we show up. There's several hundred people in all the different schools, and I'm thinking, I don't have a good chance of getting this job, but okay, Lord, I'm just going to, you know, take the opportunity, right? Don't put all my eggs in one basket. So a couple months go by, and I get a letter in the mail that says I'm number 4. I'm like, oh, well, maybe I will get a job temporarily as a corrections officer. Who knows? Half an hour from getting the letter, I'm still at Bible school in the housing. I've got a little 2-year-old. He's running around, and our sergeant calls up, and he says, hey, you got a suit? I go, yeah, it's Bible school. Of course I got a suit. He goes, I need you to show up Monday. We want to consider you for hiring you. You're number 2. Long story short, I get hired. Doesn't God have a sense of humor? I mean, I get hired, and I remember the first time I walk into my unit. I'm going to paint a picture for you. Double the size of this sanctuary, about 1.5 times, and there's 60 cells around you, and you got 2 doors you walk through, and they shut them doors, and you're by yourself, and let me tell you something, you have a coming to Jesus moment. Okay? I'm going to tell you, you really are. Okay, it's just you, and then you got 60 guys, and I said, this is real funny, Lord, you sent me to Bible school, and I'm going to be working in a jail. See, my goal for my life, I thought, was the ministry. Comfort would have been to go into a comfortable job, but I wasn't called to go there. I was called to go into corrections, and sometimes I follow the ways of God, and sometimes I follow the ways of man. It's just the way it is. When I point a finger, I always tell somebody, I got 3 more pointing back at me. I'm not perfect. God's still working on me in this area. But you know, God said, Dan, I need you to be able to talk to hard people. Couldn't talk to hard people before then. Dan, I need you to be able to talk to people about their marriage and how tough it can get when you're a jerk to your wife. I'm sorry to use that language, but I was. Dan, I need you to talk to people about depression, because when you get low and you fail, you got to be able to talk to people. I do that now. My plan was to go into something comfortable. God wanted to test me. He wanted to put me to the grindstone. And it's going to sound crazy. Following Jesus means trusting God's plan, even when it sounds crazy. It sounded crazy to go into corrections. I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't. Wouldn't have known what to do. God has put me here because of the hard road. You see, Peter says, Lord, don't go. But Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, for you are a trap stick. You're in my way. I'm set for the cross, and ain't nothing going to stop me. Ain't nothing going to stop Christ from doing what God told him to do. He was going to suffer. He was going to be mocked. And for a time, he was going to separate it from God. Because when he was on the cross, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's because while he took the sins of the world on his heart and on his body, God couldn't see him. And when he rose again, hallelujah, back in communion with God, being our mediator, amen? Somebody stop me, I'm preaching a little bit this morning. Jesus is not talking about the pursuit of pain, okay? It's not the physical comfort, right? It's the holy discomfort. Following Jesus means not trying to talk somebody else out of sacrificing for God. Somebody might come to you and they may, hey, I had a friend that had to go to Africa, and I thought it was crazy at the time. They sold their house, sold everything they had. They had to be debt-free to go be hostiles in Africa, and I thought it was crazy at the time, got to be honest. But man, what a beautiful thing when they came home, they could tell of all the things that God had done through them. Don't be that Peter that tells you, hey, don't go. Have your mind on the cross. Let's continue reading in Matthew 16. said, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. He's saying some real hard things right here. What do you mean, take up my cross? You got to think, at this time, his disciples are listening to him talk about how he must suffer and die. And then Jesus is saying, I got to take up my cross? Ooh, at that moment, they might have had their heart sink a little bit. You saying I need to do the same thing, Jesus? Because that is not going to be great. Not necessarily. Now, some of his disciples did suffer and die, some very terrible death. But he's talking about the cross of whatever plan God has for their life. They needed to pick it up and need to take it. See, there's no velvet crosses, right? I thought I was going to be easily going into a nice, comfortable job, maybe in the ministry, but then I had to pick up my cross and walk for the last 15 years in a jail and learn to be humbled. It says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. I have a question for you. What areas of your life do you need to deny? What areas of your life do you need to deny? If we can go to that slide, please, guys. You see, here's the idea, this trap stick that's in the way. There's going to be something in your life that's going to be in the way, all right? And I don't know what that might necessarily be. But comfort must fall to save and find your life. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. See, comfort must fall to save and find your life. What things in my life must I deny, right? Am I satisfied in places where God is not? You have something in your way, and sometimes we just need to say, I'm going to put my heart and my mind and my soul right on the cross, and I'm going to view it, I'm going to go. What things must I deny, and what things of God must I devote? Let's talk about a few. I'm going to meddle a little bit. Alcohol. Literally save your life physically. Drugs. 15 years of working inside of a jail. Let me tell you, yeah, drugs are going to do some really bad things for your body, but you don't want to know what it does to your family. Do you want to know what it does to the people around you? I remember the saddest phone call I ever took was a mother dealing with her daughter for several years going through hell on earth. And the mom just said, I'm done with her. I don't want to have any, I don't want her to contact me. I'm really not interested in knowing what's going on in her life. I know she wants me to know her medical stuff and she wants me to get out of jail, but no. No. Alcohol and drugs, prescription medication, God can free you from that. How about sleep? Ooh. A few years ago, I found out I had sleep apnea and why I was so miserable. Sleep can be a great thing, and it also can be a hindrance. Do you think you can go to bed a little earlier so you could wake up a little earlier, spend some time in the Word? I know there's five guys somewhere in here right now. Some are not, and we're making a commitment to wake up and spend time with Jesus. It's probably my biggest regret, is not waking up earlier and spending my days with Jesus and getting ready for the day. Maybe y'all can't spend an hour with a group of people. Look, I'm a small group champion here, so you can't fault me for not wanting to bring up small groups, but are you in a small group? Do you have time where you can go and spend just some great time being blessed by the people of God, bearing one another's burdens? You need to deny something. You need to get over that hurdle and you need to say, I'm following Jesus. Maybe it's food. Maybe food is something you struggle with. I struggle with food. Just because I'm skinny doesn't mean I'm healthy. Okay? There's a lot of things I know I can't eat or I'm not healthy, and I need to give them up. But is food a barrier for you that you need to get over? Does it stop you from being able to take on the things that God wants you to take on? I know it does for me. It makes me very miserable when I'm eating ice cream and having steak on Sundays. My wife tell you, it doesn't make me a happy guy. I'm happy for about 10 minutes. That's it. How about exercise? Exercise, like I know, I spent many years not exercising. Is exercise a barrier? My son and I have been start going to the gym the last couple months, and it's been great. And I've only been able to get in shape and able to spend some time with my son. He's 17, and I just so worried I'm going to lose him. I want to spend time with him, and I'm going to work out with him. Get yourself in shape. Go for a walk. It doesn't have to be Olympic sports. It's probably a hindrance for you if you wake up and you don't feel good. Okay? I know I'm meddling, but I do it because I love you. How about sex? The world is going to tell you you're crazy if you wait until you're married. I'm here to tell you it's best when you wait for marriage. The world's going to tell you you're crazy. We have movies that pick fun at guys who wait until they're 40. So what? I'm going to deny what the world says, and I'm going to put on what Christ says is right. He says, wait. Man, I'm talking to you too, with stern your eyes. I've struggled. I know you struggle. Deny it and walk towards the cross. Time. I kind of touched on it a little bit. Take some time to spend it in the Word and pray. Get with God's people every week and meet and bear one another's burdens. Isn't it a beautiful thing when you can relate to somebody? I got some friends in this room that are going through some really hard things in their lives, some really hard family things. I'm so proud of them for walking through these things. They knew who they are, and I love them, but they're an encouragement to me. And you know what that does in my faith when I walk out the door? Y'all need that. Y'all need that. And some Christians are totally boring. No offense. Some Christians are so boring. They got the denial part down, but they aren't following. I'm going to share a story in Luke 19. It's about a little man called Zacchaeus. Would you join me here for a minute? It said, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region. He had become very rich. Well, one too many pages. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass by. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house with great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be with a guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek those who were lost. Let me tell you, some of you guys have been sitting in the tree. You've been looking at Jesus, but you got to get down and you got to follow him. I know it's going to be tough and the world's going to call you crazy, but you got to get down. You got to get the power of initiative. Get down and follow Jesus. And then just watch him do crazy things. Isn't it crazy what Zacchaeus did? He gave half of his possessions away. He's got two cars, he gives one away. Got two homes, he sells one, gives it to the poor. And then what's crazy, he says, well, those that I've wronged in my tax collecting, I'm going to give them four times as much. The world's going to tell you you're crazy. But you're not. You're following Jesus. You see, comfort must fall to gain a greater reward. Zacchaeus, I mean, he was a rich dude, real rich. He said, you know, it ain't worth it. I can only speculate. He said, it ain't worth it. I'm following Jesus from here on out. He got out of that tree and ran after his Savior and said, yep, gonna make it right. Comfort must fall to gain a greater reward. See, the longer view you take, the better decisions you make. When we keep eternity in mind, the things of this world just pass away, right? Where are we going to be in 100 years? Who's going to remember us? Somebody shared on their Facebook, and it stuck with me for several months. Just that, what's going to be remembered of me in 100 years? Probably nothing. I hope Jesus. I hope my kids keep spreading Jesus, and I don't care if I'm not named again. I want Jesus named again. I want Jesus to reign in their hearts, and I want that to be my legacy, amen? The longer view you take, the better decisions you make. You see, Smart people think, you know, 5-10 years down the road. Really wise people think 1,000 years down the road. Things of this world are going to glow strangely dim, right? See, life should not be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body. I'm already breaking down. I was praying with my brother Wayne this morning. We talked about how much we beat our bodies up. I beat my body up pretty good recently. But rather to skid in broadside in a cloud of smoke, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, "Woo! What a ride!" What a ride. You see, for the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. I don't like that verse. You see, because I spent a lot of time on this side using this stumble block as an excuse. Lord, I deal with hard people. And that's why I curse. Lord, I'm real tired. It's why I'm not spending time with my family right now. I'm holed up in a corner playing my guitar. It's a nice excuse you got there, Dan. I ask you, what are you going to deny? And what are you going to devote yourself to today? See, faith thrives in the midst of holy discomfort. When you're sitting up in the tree, you've got a 100-mile view, and it's great. Yeah, but you got to get down on the ground, and you got to follow Jesus and say, I'm going to the cross, baby. I'm following my Savior. You see, David was uncomfortable. I'm sure he didn't exactly have no fear going up to that giant. But you know what he did have? He had a Savior who emboldened him and said, David, go. And with a little sling, he walked up. And he defeated that giant. Amen? What things must we deny? And what things must we devote ourselves to? Look, I understand where Peter's coming from. It seems crazy to ask, hey, you want to be comfortable? Yeah, we all want to be comfortable. I'm not saying that you're not going to be comfortable, because I'm telling you, the peace of God is unlike anything you will ever deal with in your life, okay? It's nothing the world's going to give you. And if you don't know what that's like, you want to know more about Jesus, we'd love to talk to you today. Real boots on the ground, how Jesus will change your life. What things must you deny? And what things of God do you need to devote to? That list, I don't know what it is. I still have my journey. I'm still working in corrections. God has seemed to really bless my socks off, and I have so much to be thankful and grateful for. I'm in a high level of leadership, and that's no boasting of my own. No boasting of my own. That's all because of Jesus. He has done so many great things in my life, and he's still putting me to the grindstone. And you might be here this morning saying, Lord, I'm going through this hard time, and I don't know if I see a way out. See, God's not going to stop you from going through the fire. But if you take his hand, he's going to see you through it. Some of you might be dealing with some addiction. Come back next week. That man over there, he's going to do a great job. I already know it, talking about addiction. And we're not just talking about physical addiction, okay? Let's talk about our screen time. Convicted me a few months ago. Got rid of Facebook. Thank you, Jesus. I'm back on it. Sorry, I can't really talk about that too much. I like Facebook Marketplace. What can I say? Look, as we wrap up, I don't know what you're going through. You're going to have these trap sticks in your life. And you're going to have to deny it, and you're going to have to walk on that other side. I know I keep doing this, but I want it to stick. I want it to stick. What things do you have to say no to? And what things you need to walk into? Because God is asking you to do it. So as I invite the band up right now, I want us to take some time to just pray over that, okay? Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for everybody that's here this morning. I don't know what everyone's going through, Lord. I do know that you're working, and I do know, Lord, that you want to work through us, Lord. Whether it's marital problems, whether it's family problems, when it's work problems, when it's money problems, Lord, I pray you would take their hand this morning and walk them through it. if someone's having a hard time trying to find what it is, Lord, that they need to deny, what things they need to stop doing and what things they need to start walking into, Lord, I pray that you would just bring it to their heart right now. Lord, search me and know me and see if there's any offensive way in me. Get rid of it. I'm so thankful these group of people here, they're my brothers and sisters. I love them. I pray you would bless them this week in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.